Oh.
They ain't driving them.
Yeah, I was going to say that AEW has less travel, but...
That's true, yeah.
If you're traveling by bus, though, on your own, isn't pretty much... Their destinations are far enough apart that it's got to take a decent amount of your time to drive from one place to the other.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Because I know Cody did that. He had his own bus.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously it is because I feel it was John Cena that I feel like was the first one that got known for having one of those.
I was going to make a joke. Remember the DX Express? I think that was the first one.
Okay.
That meant an untimely demise. But, I got to say, that was the first one I heard of. But I guess a lot of people do now. Like Seth and Becky, Randy Orton did. Obviously, not now.
Yeah.
Brock, I'm sure. Brock just didn't have his own car to go straight to the airport. So, I don't blame him, though. I mean, if you can afford it, it's better for your personal mind and health. You go, just stay out of trouble, first off. And then second, you know, have someone drive you so you can sleep and actually take care of yourself.
I mean,
It's not the beer and drugs day, so...
yeah, I don't blame them. They saw what that did, and a lot of people said, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that." I know that there still are occasionally people that participate in said activities, but definitely does not seem to the extent that it used to happen.
Oh. No, thank God. Although,
yeah.
Like, this is kind of on a different tip. But did you see that shit with Joey Janela? He pierced his cheeks.
Oh, yeah, because I still follow him on Instagram, I saw that, and I'm just like, okay. Like, moving on along here.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, other than it's like, well, you shouldn't have done that. Like, I wasn't, like, mad about it, or upset, or freaked, or happy, or whatever. I was just like, okay.
It doesn't really make me want to order one of your shows. I'm sure that might entice someone to do that. But it does the exact opposite for me.
Yeah, that's up there with, except they're bazillionaires. But Till Lindemann from Rammstein, one of their videos... I think it's Ichter V, something like that. He's got the light in his mouth. Well, they kept trying to run the wire, around his lip and all that, and it just kept showing. So he actually just had his cheek pierced so they could run the light in the wire through his mouth. And his mouth lights up during the video. It's a really cool effect, by the way. But when I found out that that was how they did it, I'm like, you know, it's just a music video. Like... That's, I think, 4 minutes long, so...
I did not... at least when I was getting the piercings back in the day, I was told that that did not hurt very much, because I did look into that. That La Brea one, kind of in the chin area, was really popular when we were in school. Yeah, I remember looking into that, and that it would be a similar piercing to that.
Oh. No, thanks.
It's still kind of wild to do that just for your video if you haven't done that already, honestly.
Yeah, but it's also, like, consider the source, like, okay.
Yeah.
Not a shock at all.
Yeah, not even a little bit. Considering that man used to light himself on fire, nothing is surprising.
Those shows are wild. Now all of them are lighting themselves on fire in that show. Like, this last, like, didn't go, so hopefully they come back. Because this last tour with them was supposed to be the pre-COVID one. So the entire stage setup, song choice, production is all based off of Auslander. So they only played, I think, two songs off the new album.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and now next year they're doing a tour, another stadium tour of Europe, So I'm hoping that they come back over here and play the new stuff, because the new one's really good. But
I did enjoy the new album. I haven't listened to it enough, but
it's so, the topics are so bizarre on it. And, well, not really bizarre, but it's like, for them, nothing's really bizarre. But, like, the choice, like, putting them in order, the choices of order is just weird to me. So, I mean, it starts off a song about time. It ends with a song about time. There's a song about plastic surgery. I can't remember the next one. One about not wearing condoms. There's...
I can't say I've looked this much into the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, condom. That's what it means.
Oh.
Never with condom. Yeah, I'm like, what? And it's all about, I'm not wearing one because it doesn't feel as good. It's like all the excuses.
Yeah, all the usual stuff.
Yes. So, and then, what is it? Zigzag is about plastic surgery. And then angst is about, like, the boogeyman of Germany. Like, the media making people afraid of your neighbors. Still up for debate whether it means black people or if it means an actual boogeyman. But well, I guess it's just, like, it's bad over there with that stuff, which, it's Germany, so I guess I kind of get it. But, and it followed up with Dickie Titten, meaning giant tits. Like, okay. But then again, it's them, so would you want it to be any other way? So.
Oh, yeah, but I guess I wouldn't expect any different.
No. By now, why would, I mean.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah, Gwar is going to finally do something different these days. And it's just like, no, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, if that came out with an acoustic album, you're like, what are you doing? Like, no. You guys, like, shoot semen out of cannons. Like, just cut it out. Although. That would be bizarre enough to work.
Yeah, you know, after like 25 years of that, if they finally decided to come out with an acoustic album, I would be interested.
And like the stage show for the acoustic stuff is like, it's the same gnarly things, but just like with softer lighting and, I don't know, slower cannon shots or whatever else. Like, I don't know, just make it more romantic, I guess. That'd be kind of fun. Probably be some angry fans, but
oh man, that would be a hoot riot right there to go like softcore porn theme.
yes exactly, that'd be great. Speaking of, what is this show you're watching?
Oh, Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay, I have no idea what this is.
Well, it's a bunch of the contestants that were on various Bachelor and or Bachelorette shows, and they throw them on a beach and they date each other. The wife started watching a couple of the Bachelors and decided to watch this one last year, and it's just such a hot mess. Like, it's one of those things that I don't usually watch that kind of thing. Like, reality TV is definitely not really on my menu, but for some reason, that one is pretty amusing, and it's kind of pretty. It's ridiculous.
You're one of the smartest people I know. I've never been this disappointed in you. That shit's fucking awful. I guess I better watch what I say now, but. You're not watching that Love Boat show, are you?
No.
Okay, all right.
No. This really, because we haven't even watched the Bachelor or Bachelorette the last, like, two or three seasons or something like that. Like, she really watched it for, like, two or three seasons, and then we've, like, kind of been out of it. But for some reason, I know one of her coworkers was like, "Hey, you gonna watch that?" And it's just like, "Yeah, sure, why not?"
Jesus Christ. I've never seen an episode of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, or I've never actually seen Survivor at all either. Is that show still on?
Hey, oh my God, yeah, that is still the wildness. How many people want? Like, I feel like there are people that are like trying to. I'm like, it's wild that there's a survivor nation out there, and a very large one.
I feel like I'm
seeing more of my friends say, oh, man, Survivor's on tonight. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Is this 1999? What are you talking about? Oh.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen that. I've never seen that show. Like, there's so many of these popular shows like that have lasted forever. I've never seen a single episode of.
Well, because
the only reason I've seen like Big Bang Theory is it happens to be on after the news and then before AEW, and that show is fucking stupid. That show's not funny at all. I don't understand, and I know it's cool to bag on it, but I'm coming in new to this thing. Why?
Well, it's one of those ones where I wasn't surprised where when I went back to Altoona, one of my friends is just like, oh, why don't you watch that? It's all about smart people. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I guess I kind of get some of it, some of the stuff, because it is geeky, super geeky humor. But I'm like, I don't really need this.
No. And like, what a horrible way of selling it. It's a show about smart people. What? Like, smart people aren't, like, that insanely smart, they're not funny. Like, they don't have the capacity because their brain doesn't work that way. It's just how it works.
Right.
So, unless they're doing drugs or you know, drinking too much, then sure. Then, like, you know, they've allowed themselves to loosen enough to actually think differently.
Oh, yeah. So, that...
Sorry, I got totally run off guard because someone's closing the screen behind me and freaks the fuck out because a leaf falls on the ground. Or a stink bug. You know, those things that are maybe the size of your thumbnail.
Oh, man. Well, This is quite a way to kick off a Stunt Granny audio here. I don't know how much we've talked about non-wrestling related TV shows that we watch in quite some time. Other than sports.
Did you get it? Anyways. So to go back to wrestling talk that we haven't started yet, we were doing this last week. So everyone likes Jamie Hayter because of her ass, right? That's what we established last week?
Yes.
All right. I kind of get it. Because that thing's been hanging out this entire match. And it's like, okay. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. So I thought it was kind of, I thought it was a little too dismissive last week about the whole thing. So doing my research, watching AEW tonight, I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, I was amused when last evening the wife was like, oh my god, she has a big butt. And she was talking about Gigi Dolin.
Yes.
Just like, okay, it's that obvious, huh? That even you have to comment on it.
Yeah, she's gotten, like, again, not complaining, but it's like, she's like, her legs have gotten bigger. Like, I don't know if it's muscular or what, or she's just wearing like different outfits, like that make her legs, like, I mean, they look pretty strong.
Yeah, she I'm gonna assume that she can do more on a squat rack than I can.
Yeah. Maybe not me, but
yeah.
Oh, I thought Sheeta was busted open. Never mind. Pain. All right. No. So yeah, I was trying to get back to wrestling talk, but yeah, it's like, oh, I get it. All right. See, watching it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So. It's an odd choice, like, just to stick on that topic, because, you know, I know we're doing this a week early or a day early. It's a weird choice for me to see the women wearing. Not revealing, because it makes you sound prudish, but as someone who doesn't partake in wearing thongs, I don't see how that's comfortable. Two, I don't see, yeah, exactly, Angel. And then, I don't see how that's comfortable wearing wrestling gear like that. like, one of my big pet peeves is Ronda Rousey refuses to wear tights, and she keeps wearing those shorts. So every, like, 2 minutes in a match, she's pulling her shorts down. It drives me bonkers. Like, buy some fucking outfit. Buy an outfit that fits.
Yeah, you would think that she's been around long enough that maybe they would tailor things a little bit differently after a few matches. But yeah, she's always pulling down her pant leg like every third move.
Yeah, it's like whenever she's walking around. And I don't remember if she did that in MMA or not, but she was in the UFC. So maybe it's just what she does. Maybe, you know, everyone hates when something rides up on it, so I get it. But
yeah, I understand that there can be discomfort. It just
in the middle of a fight, she's like pulling her shorts, like, don't fucking worry about it. Yeah, but just like the choices, like half of their butts hang out, and again, cool. But it's just it's an odd choice for me. I guess that's sex appeal. I don't know. But it just seems like in a combat, which is another thing we talk about, in a combat sport, it's kind of goofy having half your ass hanging out.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising, just because you don't really have that in MMA. Hmm. You know, it is a little less revealing, but... Yeah, that seems to, I would hope, be just a conscious choice for most of these women in the professional wrestling mold here to still be a little more scantily clad to help draw viewers in.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's why.
You know, I am hoping that they are not forced into these things. And it certainly doesn't seem like it. Because, I mean, Bianca Belair would be one of the few women to me that wears a practical outfit.
Rhea Ripley, I guess, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
Sonya Deville.
Oh.
Natalia?
But another MMA fighter. Natalia, yeah, I like full cat suit.
Yeah, and then...
You know, as long as it's, you know... I was going to say agile, but that is not the right word. Flexible enough, I guess.
Yeah. No, I... It's just, that's just one of those things. It's just odd. Oh, Alba Fire, I guess. Who is...
She's turned into, like, some Johnny Depp pirate dress thing going on now. At least that's...
Totally miscast as a good guy. Totally miscast. That crowd does not buy into her at all.
Yeah, I did like this week that they seem to be adding to her character. I'm not sure that this weird druidess woman is going to work.
Yeah.
I do feel like this week it finally got a direction, but I agree with you that the crowd doesn't seem that into her.
No, which is pretty telling, because that crowd, good or bad, doesn't really matter. They latch on to something, whether they like it or don't. There's really not a lot of middle-of-the-road reactions with that small NXT crowd there. So the fact that they're just kind of lukewarm, I mean, not catcalling, I don't know what word I'm looking for all of a sudden, but, well, catcalling's the total wrong word, but basically, like, talking shit to her,
whatever.
Or, like, or chanting boring, or this is stupid or something, they're not even doing that. You know?
Yeah, they're just kind of there.
Right, right. So that when she was the bad woman, bad girl in UK, it was far more comfortable. And I'm trying to think if that's my problem with it, but it just doesn't seem to fit her at all. So I don't know, maybe it'll change. But
yeah, and maybe that is at least part of it, is that maybe she's having a hard time with it. I don't. Mm-hmm. you know, just because she hasn't really, at least on WWE TV, been a baby face.
Yeah.
Yet. So, yeah, maybe she just has an uncomfortability with the whole situation.
Yeah. I mean, the in-ring talent's there, but this character's as goofy as hell. And plus, they're going, like, she's going up against an act that has, or, oh, she's going up an actual act. And, I mean, unfortunately, Mandy Rose is going to be out for a few weeks, I guess. I don't know how long she's going to take. But... Oh.
Yeah, well, long enough that they brought in Sonya Deville.
Yeah. Well, I mean, her brother died, so it's like, oh, how long do you stay out?
Yeah. She is eligible to stay out for as long as she feels like staying out. Because I guess I haven't even looked into the details of how her brother died, but the fact that, you know... I'm assuming a 20-something year old passed away is...
he was 40.
40? Oh.
Yeah, I think that's what I read. He was 40. I mean, even that, still.
Still. Ugh.
Like, yeah, so...
When you're over that age, that's like, woof.
Yes. Yeah, that's way too young.
But yeah.
To turn, like, a positive out of this, though, Sonya Deville has always been one of those to me that has never been used right. I didn't mind her as the GM. And, like, she had to take off for a while because of that goofy stalker stuff going on with her. She comes back as the GM, finally gets to wrestle again, and it just never really clicked. Like, remember, she started off as, like, put your hair up and square up. She was the badass. I was like, oh, okay, she used to do MMA. This works. And then, you know, what was it, Fire and Ice?
Fire and Desire.
Fire and Desire, that's it. Well, I wanted to say Vicious and Delicious, but that was Bagwell and Scott Norton, so that's not it.
Yeah, completely different look going on there for those two.
What a great tag team name, by the way. Vicious and Delicious. It's just, it's instantly hateable. So, but,
it is pretty brotastic.
Yeah, but it's getting, like, but Sonya comes out, pretty nice surprise, because, you know, there's that issue with her and Mandy, and they acknowledge it real quick and are just like, yeah, we had our problems, but she's still my best friend. And then Sonya cuts the best promo of her life, which, I mean, you know, you can take that as scale any way you want, but that was awesome. And it was like, oh, here's the badass Sonya Deville coming back. So, okay, and like her explaining, well, if these are family to Mandy, then they're my family too, or however she put it.
Oh, right. Like,
all right, so I, you know, as terrible as the reason it is Mandy's gone, it's pretty cool that they brought this in as a, you know, little stopgap.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones where Sonya's character needed at least a minor reboot. And I do think that NXT is a good place to have that happen in. You know, she can really kind of push to a different direction, or maybe even at least be taken somewhat seriously in the women's division. Like, I don't know if she's ever going to be champ, but she could be a more useful player in the women's division if they allow her to be.
Yeah. The women's division is not as bad as it gets made out to be. I mean, I think we do the same thing. But they do focus, I mean, honestly, even Raw focuses on the same people. So, and, like, so having Sonya, like, come out blazing, and hopefully that translates when she does go back to SmackDown. I'm guessing she's going to go back to SmackDown. And then they've got a player for, you know, for Ronda. Even though I know they've done it before, but if you reestablish somebody, well, all right, so there's some drama, but...
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to take it. No one's really going to take anyone taking on Ronda Rousey seriously, to be completely honest, until it's Becky or Charlotte. Maybe if Sasha ever comes back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's those and, yeah, and Bianca. Like, there's a pretty short list for credible Ronda challengers.
Oh, well, no, we forgot Bayley.
Oh, yeah, Bayley works too. And I mean, they have room to grow And, you know, again, it's something that's going to take some time. But if they get Io Sky and or Dakota Kai established, I think that they can run them eventually. It's definitely not a near-term thing. But Sonya is someone that they could probably fill in a shorter time frame than Sky or Kai. Just because, you know, she has a little more history and has been on the program longer. The recognizability helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was trying to think, who's in NXT, like, right now, outside of Mandy, who's really more, like, her matches are fine, but, yeah, like, credibility-wise, I mean, but not right now. And that's just the problem with Ronda Rousey anyways. Like, I never once for a second, like, the whole Liv-Ronda feud, I was always like, when is Ronda just going to beat her already? You know? Like...
Oh, well, I...
It's no offense to Liv, but I never took Liv seriously. I still don't.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that they need to solve for her. And, yeah, that's something that Chris and I talked about some, but, yeah, she's just... Yeah, you can't take her seriously because she hasn't really won any matches. And even the ones that she did win, like, I mean, she has a win over Shayna Baszler, but that seems...
That sounds like shit.
Yeah, it kind of seemed fluky, especially due to the fact that Shayna really hasn't been on TV very much either.
I'm trying to think. So there's been a couple people that have been missing. And I believe she's one of them. And it was right after Ronda, like, saw her backstage. And she's like, well, you used to be a killer, so let me know when you want to take this seriously. Or something like that.
Yeah, it was something in that vein.
And that was the last time we've seen her, I think.
Yeah, she might have been on TV for a match once or twice after that. But it's been really minimal since then. You know, it did seem like that was leading somewhere, and then it didn't lead anywhere. So, I even kind of expected it to maybe light a fire under her and have her go on a tear until Ronda won the championship and they could run those two against each other.
That's what I always thought was going to happen. That Sonya's going to come back and be serious. It may happen at the Rumble just to put off, like, Ronda and Becky. Because, I mean, they are legit friends, so that'd be, I mean, for the two of them, it's got to be kind of special. Have it the Royal Rumble or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that they would be pretty stoked for that. And they could have a good match. I mean, Ronda's pretty good at this wrestling thing.
She's getting better, yeah. And but I guess, like, every match she has is, like, you know, they practice it for a while, which, who cares? I mean, that's fine. So she's not, like, a natural for it. Not yet, at least, if she decides to stick with it, of course.
No, right.
But I mean, there's always, like, the problem with her is just the presentation. And
they finally, I think, solved that by making her a heel.
Well, what I mean is, she's a badass. We've all seen her track record, you know?
Oh.
And yes, like, her end of her MMA career did not go well. But she was a badass, and that's what we all remember. So you bring her into this, realm, and she's lost, what, Becky Lynch, Liv, and Charlotte. I think those are her only three losses. If I'm remembering right.
So. Well, yeah. I mean, you can go with the Liv, hey, I pinned you twice, but no one counts that Money in the Bank match, or any of them, honestly.
The Money in the Bank's a better ending than that one that was at SummerSlam. That goofy tap-out pin thing.
Oh, that was, you know? That was so awful.
That was just a bad choice.
Like, yeah.
They shouldn't have had that match anyways. Just let Liv take on somebody else, because I don't think anybody thought Liv was going to lose. And this time, because she could have, but it's like, well, what's the point? Of having, like, you know, I guess when merch sales went up, they were like, oh, shit, never mind, we got to keep Liv going. But yeah, like, and then, I'm trying to think, like, there's no real free agents out there, but not that they need them, but I was just trying to think, because we were talking about, like, presentation for the women, and this is one, I don't know if you're familiar with her that much, Jordynne Grace.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the physical transformation she's made?
It's been pretty wild. I mean, I guess I still see her occasionally post on ye olde Twitter. Feel like that's kind of died down a little bit.
Well, yeah, because she says a lot of stupid shit, first off. But her Instagram, you know, she's, I think she's married to John Gresham now.
So. Correct. Yeah, has been for okay. a while at this point.
I thought they were just, like, engaged. Whatever. That's not important. What's important is she used to be into powerlifting. And, you know, she had a powerlifter's body. She was thick. I mean, she used to call herself Thick Mama Pump.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't really kept up with her, and my Impact viewing, unfortunately, has gone down because I don't have it on YouTube TV. She is shredded.
Yeah.
I was like, I looked, I was like, what is this superimposed bullshit? Like, like, what, why is she doing this? And then I saw her, one of her Impact matches, and she's like, she's super cut now. I was like, holy God, look at that. Like, I'm not talking about, like, oh my God, I'm going to jerk off or something. But I'm looking at her going, that's insane. Like, that is incredible to have, like, a legit before after.
Yeah, I mean, she has, I mean, she still is, in the nicest way possible, stocky.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Got
all that, yeah.
Yeah, but she went from, yeah, like you said, more of a powerlifter's body to just completely shredded. And it's just like, oh, wow. And I guess she posted enough on Twitter that I guess I kind of kept up with it, so I didn't get the big reveal, maybe, that yeah. you did. Like, I never thought that it was superimposed.
No, I mean, obviously not, but I was, like, goofing around, like, what's she doing, like, goofing around or something? But I'm guessing, because she was doing powerlifting competitions as well, and I'm wondering if she's getting into, not bodybuilding, the, competitive fitness? Is that what it's called? Well, you still have to be athletic, but you've got to be pretty shredded, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, no, that was Miss Olympia, but, whatever. I'm thinking maybe she's going into that. Or maybe she was, like, just testing herself, but, and it's an odd topic to discuss, but only because I'm impressed. Like, that's crazy cool. So.
Yeah.
That's all, but.
Well, that was all off of, yeah, I still think they have enough women in the WWE. They still need to reboot a lot of them. A lot of them, you know, and I'm not sure that it's much of their fault. Triple H did do, honestly, like, I know that especially the both of us have made fun of the whole women's revolution thing, but Triple H was more in charge of that, and I know that Vince did put the women in the main event like 3 consecutive weeks or something before he went out the window, but I still feel like at least NXT, when Triple H was running it, they did a better job of getting the women up and running.
Absolutely.
It's another one, though, that it's been a while, and you can obviously tell that the WWE is changing how they do things. It's still, I think, going to take some time to get the women's division to, I don't know if they can ever get to those, the NXT heyday when everyone was saying it was the best division in wrestling. I'm not sure that they can do that on the main roster, but they can definitely have a pretty good run of things because a lot of those names are still around.
Yeah, it's funny, though. You'd think with more TV time, they'd actually be able to, like, show you. You know?
With
3 hours of TV time, you could have some more. But I'm trying to figure out if Rhea Ripley is still not cleared to wrestle. She hasn't been doing a whole lot.
Yeah, she has been involved in matches, but not really had a match recently.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she's not taking bumps. She's not getting hit at all, that I remember. Oh, no, wait, didn't... Actually, I take that back. Didn't Dominic run into her or something?
Yeah, and I mean, her and Beth did throw fisticuffs with each other. Like, I know that that wasn't... It still wasn't a bump, I don't think.
So, real quick, did you guys talk about that match at Extreme Rules?
We more talked about the fact that this feud is never going to end. But...
No.
It was one of those topics that we didn't really talk about. I mean, you kind of knew that a mixed tag match was coming with Rhea Ripley and Beth and, you know, someone else, Finn and or Damian Priest, depending upon which way they decide to roll. I guess I did not expect this to be the way that it went.
Okay, so the only reason I asked if you guys brought it up was that match. I'm going to get to your point real quick.
Oh, okay.
Is that match was so goddamn long. I was like, what's going on here? We're 20 minutes in and nothing's really happened. And then it was as if they were like, oh, okay, here we go now. Like, we had to mellow you out so much to ramp up the drama at the end. And...
Yeah, it did not dawn on me until I was, I might still have the report pulled up, I do, but when I was reading it when recording with Chris, I was just about shocked when I was like, oh my god, that thing lasted almost 30 minutes, like, I want to say that the reviewer listed 29:50 as the match time, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yes. Boy, Edge loves his long matches, man, but it made sense. I mean, when he kicks Dominic in the balls, Beth comes in, you're like, they hooked you, like, he hooked me. That was great.
Oh.
So, and Finn's a dick. Boy, that would have been, this is the character he should have been the whole time. Not the smiling, I'm happy to be here guy. God damn.
Yeah, he's starting to get, like, he's a guy that needed a reboot, and this Judgment Day thing has been really weird. But I think that it's finally starting to work for him. I'm with you. Like, he seems to be kind of one of those, a good arrogant heel.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is that what he was in New Japan?
That's what I was just saying. I guess that's what he was.
Okay.
So, but yeah. Okay, so to go to your point, though, yeah, this feud seems like it's never ending. But now, it's like, is it over? Because they're transitioning to AJ in the Good Brothers, where they're still talking like Ray still has a problem with his son. Edge still needs to come back and get revenge. Now Beth has to get revenge. And I'm like, this is kind of chaotic and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting spot that the Judgment Day finds themselves in. Because the one thing we did talk about, and I can get your thoughts on it, is that it seemed like AJ was going to team with Edge and Ray to take on the three guys. And yes. the second that Gallows and Anderson, like, it definitely seems like they were hinting at Gallows and Anderson coming back. Like, I felt like the last couple of weeks, the way AJ was talking, I'm like, huh, those guys coming back here? I didn't feel like I saw any rumors or... I did maybe... When did they exit Impact? Was that a little while?
I guess it was actually like a month ago.
Okay.
Like TV tapings and that. It seems like shorter.
Oh.
No, I did not expect them to come back. And then one of the things I was reading was like, yeah, they're free agents. They're talking to AEW and WWE. And I'm like, what? Like, why would they go back there? Didn't they say they had a problem? Like, AJ famously got everyone kicked off Twitch. and streaming because of him saying he had a problem with Paul Heyman. Like, and then here they are for Monday. I'm like, okay, never mind. Like, because you're right. That's what it seemed like it was going to be.
Yeah. It's... And now, like you said, like, there's almost three separate feuds going on. And two of the feuds involve at least two of the men. Well, one of the men and one of the other members. Like, everyone's kind of involved in everything else. And, yeah, it does leave Judgment Day in a really weird and unique spot. Like, you don't usually see this many feuds going on at one time.
But it seems like they're intertwining everybody with, like, everyone's business is intertwined. I mean, you even go back to the beginning of Raw. Riddle comes out. Like, they're having, the Bloodline's having their own problem. Riddle comes out, like, hey, give me another match, man. He's like, no. He's like, aw. All right, well, you'll fight Sammy. So somehow Riddle gets inserted into this story. And I know he's just like a placeholder, you know, for Friday when Roman's pissed off at Jay. But then Riddle still, like, is he, are he and Seth done? Like, does that seem like a weird way to end the feud, which I guess it should, with a spectacle?
Considering that Seth Rollins is now the United States champion, it seems like that. They could continue that feud so that it's for a championship. Or they could just decide, hey, Riddle won, dust your hands of it, and we move along.
Yeah, but even that, like, all right, so say that's not done, and somehow Riddle's like, hey, I want to be U.S. champ. Well, then Seth, like, Lashley already said he wants Seth again. Well, yeah, but by the way, Brock Lesnar comes back out of the blue so that they can fight over in Saudi Arabia. And then Seth takes the title, and it's like, wait, there's four people involved in this. Oh, and then this one guy's involved himself in a storyline that goes on SmackDown. And then I think there was, like, there's even some other stuff. It's just, like, everything's intertwining themselves. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I guess I hope that all of the... Because Chris mentioned that Bray Wyatt got someone hired as a writer. And I know that it was a week or two ago that they announced the hiring of a long-term script writer or some shenanigans like that.
He's the continuity director.
Continuity. Okay, yeah. And it's just like, I don't know how many times over the years that we've complained that it just never seemed like there was an overall direction. And especially how many times this time of the year, post SummerSlam, have we sat here on this podcast and gone, oh my God, this time of the year sucks.
I didn't even think of that. You're right.
Yeah. Of the whatever 13, 14 years that we've been running Stunt Granny. Like, it's just like, I feel like the vast majority of them, somewhere between SummerSlam and Royal Rumble, it's just like, oh, man, like, it just doesn't, there didn't seem like there was ever any direction. Not that you need to be completely tipping your hand about what you, because it always seemed like Vince had something in mind for WrestleMania. And I do feel like some of that stuff started to get some groundwork, but there were definitely some other things, like intricacies, like we're talking about maybe involving people in more storylines than just one. It does have more of a, well, yeah, I guess to go back to a more of a soap opera feel. Like, people just seemed isolated.
Yes. Yeah, they really did.
So, yeah, it's kind of nice to see people, like, they share a locker room together. There should be some crossover between people. No one had any friends previously, and that's kind of weird. You don't need to be in groups all the time, but at least having friends due to enemies is something that makes a lot of sense.
know they wanted to position Judgment Day as, like, this middle ground, not middle ground, but, like, the catalyst, like, to be the bad guys on the show.
Oh.
And I think they're establishing that, and that's why they got so many people being worked into them. Because, I mean, especially with Triple H involved, you know he loves Finn. He loves Damian Priest, who, boy, him just getting to be a smartass, or cocky, or whatever you want to call him, that's been great. He is fluid on the mic. I mean, he is confident as hell. He was not that confident when he was with Archer at Infamy or whatever.
The stuff with Vince has not been great. The whole Playboy whatever thing that he was doing in NXT was fantastic.
Who?
Damian Priest.
Yes, I really like that. But it's like, the whole... I'm glad, like... Presentation-wise, like... What the hell is an Archer Infamy, anyways? And then...
he like, arches the weird, Infamy.
And then the weird, like, head-banging thing he would do. So I was pretty happy he got rid of all that. like the effect of him shooting an arrow and, like, the Tron above going on fire, that was pretty cool, though. So that'd be nice to bring back, but whatever. but he's just fluid on the mic. It's great.
Yeah.
And that really, to me, shows, like, legitimately, you know, what a talent he is. Because before, just being stifled with line after line after line of, like, hogwash. So.
Yeah. And that is one thing I do think that's helping Judgment Day is that, Triple H has made them less hogwashy. You know, I feel like they were trying to sell that. Vince seemed to go, like, to this high-minded, ideal place a little too often. And, I think he was trying to head there with them. And, Triple H has just made them dickheads. And it's just like, okay, I can understand this.
Yeah, just meddling dickheads. And yeah. Mean, too. So that's even better. So, but yeah, it's just, I like how everyone's intertwined. I did like some of the surprise. Like, Brock coming out was crazy. I love the, all right, this guy, I didn't read much about people saying this. The last time Lesnar talked about Bobby Lashley, he called him Bobby Who. So this time he comes out and calls him Bobby Lashley, and of course, boops him on the mouth with the mic, which... Jesus Christ. I give Bobby Lashley a lot of props for that because that made him look really goofy. I almost said stupid, but it's like, and he just throws him up and does his shit. And I was like, what? And then I'm like, okay, he's going to beat him up so Seth can beat him clean, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. So, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed Raw. It didn't feel like 3 hours for a change.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
Anytime you enclose with Brock Lesnar kicking someone's ass, it helps out. And it also is just like, yeah, it's one of those feuds that I feel like has been talked about forever, and they're finally pulling the trigger on it. Finally.
Yeah. And there seems to be a lot of plot points that are going to blow up. Like, in a good way. Like, there's a reason behind it. And I can't remember the guy's name that's doing the continuity thing, but he's already paying off.
Uh-oh.
Because Sonya bringing up, like, yeah, Mandy and I had problems, but we're still best friends. That would have never been addressed before. Never would have been addressed.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those things that it doesn't need to be a big thing to be a continuity thing. Just acknowledge what relationships have been established on your TV show previously. Like, that's... Yeah. We're not asking for giant monologues or something to explain this stuff. Like, one sentence like that is more than enough sometimes.
Yeah, but it's like... Remember, it used to drive me crazy. Remember when they made the Rock and Sock connection? And it drove me insane. Because The Rock hit him 11 times in the head with a steel chair. and then all of a sudden they were friends. And it's like, can we at least acknowledge that this happened? You don't have to give me an excuse that works. Just give me an excuse. And they didn't even do that. Like, that always bothers me. Like, today.
That one would have been easy. Mankind was hit so many times in the head, he doesn't remember that it happened.
Yes, that's fine. I'll agree with that. He's like, you know, we used to have a pretty rough history. We did? Never mind.
Oh, my God. You know? I would have died if that would happen.
Yeah, I mean, I know, well, now they'd be like, oh, my God, hit CTE. It's called amnesia, dummies. Just, you know, it's a plot point of every movie. But yeah, so this continuity guy is working. I mean, even Riddle coming out saying, you know, I can't get a title shot because of the old regime, but it's a new regime now, so let's do it. That would have never been addressed. It would have been Riddle coming out going, hey, I want another match. And he's like, no. Like, obviously not.
It doesn't need to be a big touch. It's nice having little touches like that to keep the WWE universe an actual universe.
Yes, and that's the thing, and I know, like, Triple H has talked about wanting to have a more reality-based product, which is going to be very difficult with Bray, mind you, unless they're just like, nah, don't worry about it. That was the establishment with this Saturday, I'm doing this on purpose, by the way. Saturday is what it is. He's back to being this character. No hocus pocus bullshit. No voodoo, like, whatever. He's going to be a guy like he used to be, and he's just going to be creepy. And the fans are going to love him for it. That being said, Monday was false advertising out the ass. Did you guys talk about this? I'm just curious.
I guess I did not realize that there was false advertising to be talked about.
They said the return of Bray Wyatt. That's how they phrased it. Commercial break, the return of Bray Wyatt tonight on Raw. The return of Bray Wyatt coming up next. Saturday night's Bray Wyatt return. Go to commercial. What the fuck was that? That is not Bray Wyatt returning. That was Bray Wyatt's return. Yes, it's not even semantics. It's legit misleading. They made you think he was going to show up. And it worked in the ratings, by the way. But I'm watching this.
Because I guess I at least felt like the announcers didn't sell it that way. You know, to me, maybe I was only paying attention to the segment before that when they definitely said that we're going to relive the Bray Wyatt return or whatever like that. But that was, like, right before they aired the segment, essentially.
Yeah. Then they're like, gotcha. Now we're going to relive it. Wait, what? Video package. Are you? Not even video package. Just the whole thing.
Pretty much.
I couldn't believe that. And then they said, then they had another White Rabbit thing, and we'll see him on SmackDown. I went, are you kidding? But it's working because more people tuned in to see when he was coming up. So, you know, don't argue with success, but they can't keep doing it, or people be like, no, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. And really, he's going to be on SmackDown? My God, this show is packed. You need to put some of these people on Raw.
Well, the weird thing was is that SmackDown did kind of need the help a little bit more. Like, it's weird where the Bloodline is such a catalyst for stories on that show that it's like the Bloodline and nothing else. Or poor Drew McIntyre, who is just in a shit spot himself.
Well, at least Drew's not losing clean, so that's a positive. You know, I mean, it'd be one thing if he was just getting trounced, then came back and then lost if someone cheated. But he's pretty much taking control of all the matches, and then something happens to him at least.
Yeah.
You know, Roman was a little different. Oh, no, well, there's one other story. Sheamus and Gunther, or the Brutes and Imperium. That's the other story, I guess, that's on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, like, because I do think that they need a little bit more to help round that show out, because, weirdly, Raw, this week was the best, but Raw has kind of moved along pretty well for most of Triple H's run so far. Like, it hasn't been the slog that it had been for a while there.
Yeah, this is, as I said earlier, for me, though, this is the first week it hasn't felt like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Where the other times I'm like, that damn is taking forever. Like, but I guess they have their formula of, like, long promos. The matches weren't too long. They kind of broke that mold this week, which I'm happy with. Like, good. Oh. They don't all need to be 15 minutes every time.
Yeah, I don't... It kind of helps not to have those every week.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy those, it is kind of like, oof, man, I'm in a wrestling buffet here, guys. Like, can you give me something other than the chicken? I can use some... Oh, it's usually steak and sizzle, isn't it? I could use more sizzle and less steak. Or something like that, I suppose.
No, I need more sizzle with my steak. Right? Or... It's not 1940. Who cares? Like, Jim Ross is the only guy that uses that. So... You know?
Yeah.
There's a reason we don't remember it.
Well, anywho, I wouldn't mind more segments some weeks rather than others. Like, just to kind of help not wear out the matches. Like, we don't need 20-minute matches, multiple 20-minute matches every week.
No. I mean, if you're building up a match for a week, like, you advertise it, then sure. You know, like Gargano and Austin Theory went a little longer, but yeah, that makes sense. They advertised it.
Oh yeah, and that definitely built it at least over a month.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. Hey, real quick, where the hell is Tommaso Ciampa? Did I miss something?
Yeah. For some reason, he got axed from the Miz act, and I'm not completely sure why, because he was still around when Dexter Lumis was terrorizing him. I don't feel like the Miz ever formally fired him on TV.
No, Miz even said where that he was. Ciampa's gone missing. He's like, wherever the hell he is. He actually said that 1 week. So Miz established that Ciampa's been missing, but no one else is saying anything about it. And I've been looking. I don't see anything where he's injured.
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I've seen any news about him not being available to wrestle. It's kind of a weird situation that Mr. Ciampa has found himself in. And again, like, he's a guy that I'm like, well, whatever. Like, I know that he is a Triple H guy. So there's at least some reason. Like, it's not one of those ones where I'm like, oh, he's in Vince's doghouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that unless he did something completely out of line that has not been reported about, it's kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, it's just weird because, I mean, he had that really good match with Lashley. And it's been Bupkis since.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's wrestled, I believe. But then, yeah, then just disappear. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, just it was worth mentioning. So, but yeah, but no. So like, they actually broke the mold this week. That was good.
Oh,
and hopefully they keep it up. And that's what I want them to do. Keep me entertained. Keep me awake and aware. Like, so NXT this week to me, it's another one where it's just okay. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with the show. It's just that no one's really. Like, outside of Dragunov, Braun Breaker's actually taken a step back. And I mean, like, to the background of this. Dragunov is the bigger star than Breaker is. He is so unique, and that spear at the end, holy God, what a sell job.
Yeah, I have seen very little of Dragunov other than his match with Gunther/Walter, whatever it was at the time. And has it been two matches now in regular NXT?
Yeah, against people who aren't on the same level with him, yeah.
Oh,
there's not. It's not being mean. There's not.
So. Yeah, but I do like Grayson Waller cracks me up. That's all there is to it. Like, I think that guy's just such a schmuck, and they do a good job of maintaining his schmuckiness, and even the crowd plays along with it rather than being excited by it. So,
I guess for me, I think he's taken a step back for the worse, and it's not his fault. It's just like Pretty Deadly. This dressing up in costume shit.
Yeah.
It's like these guys are annoying. How can we make them more annoying? Just let them be themselves. They don't need to wear wig and act like they're in Parliament. They don't need to be dressing up as sports fans, which made no sense whatsoever. Grayson Waller doesn't need a show to showcase his annoying ability. He's just a cocky, annoying asshole. Let him do that. It was working forever.
Well, the one thing that has definitely hurt him is that I want to say that he hasn't had a good schlocky win recently, and I feel like I'm forgetting one, though. The moment that I say that, I feel like I'm forgetting one. But yeah, he hasn't had kind of that grimy win, I don't feel like, the last couple of times he's been out. He's taken some L's, and I don't think that helps him out at all.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. So, no, Grayson Waller to me seemed like he was a hot shot into the main roster. And now he's just kind of stepped back. And it's like, I mean, maybe this is a cooling off thing. I don't know. But
yeah.
That's just my opinion of it, that they're taking the people that are you're annoying or you're mean, okay? Well, if you're mean, now you're really mean. No. Just let it go the way it was. You're like, you don't have to amp it up to show me that these people are annoying or these people are mean. Just what they're doing is showing me what they are. So, it's just, maybe it's a difference of writing opinion, but it's kind of like, my big thing with, comics do it, which I guess goes to the movies, but like when they introduce a new character now, and like, so in the comics, they introduce Red Hulk, and it was Green Hulk. And Red Hulk, of course, is bigger and stronger than Green Hulk.
No.
And it's like, well, no, this is the better Hulk. Don't do that. Just let me make the decision. Then I will tell you if I like it or don't like it. By watching your show, by buying your product, by not buying it, you know?
Right.
So, that's why I've been putting off the She-Hulk show. Because I guarantee you they're going to do that. Make sure she's bigger and stronger than Hulk. She's smarter. She's like all this. Instead of just allowing the character to develop in front of your eyes, they're going to punch you in the mouth and say, no, this is how it is. Like, okay.
It definitely seems like that one is leaning full comedy, from what I've heard. I still have not watched a single solitary episode of it.
Like I said before, She-Hulk's a goofy character anyways. So, the perfect way to introduce somebody, Marvel did it, didn't do it, and then did it. Captain Marvel, that movie's dumb. It doesn't make her look good. It's just like, it's grandiose bullshit. She shows up in Endgame. I think it was Endgame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in the first one. But what's she in?
She might have just been in there for a short thing and had to take off again to solve some cosmic problem.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, because she checks in. That's right.
Yeah.
She checks in. Okay, so in the beginning, so it wasn't Endgame, it was Infinity War then. She shows up. No. It was the second one because she rescues Iron Man. That's right. God damn, I gotta watch these again. It's been a while.
I'm a little rough on which was in which currently.
Yeah. Alright, so anyways, the point of it is, they had a whole movie that wasn't good about Captain Marvel. And in the beginning of Endgame, when she shows up, and she doesn't really smart off, but she stands her ground. She doesn't look out of place. And Thor does the whole thing where he calls the hammer. He gets it.
Yeah.
Or he gets a Warhammer, whatever it's called. And it breezes by her. And he looks at her and he's like, I like this one.
No.
In 5 seconds, they did a better job of showing her character than an entire movie did. So, without doing anything, all they had to do was stand there. And you're like, oh, she's pretty badass. All right. She's not intimidated by Thor. Now, not her snapping her head going, you don't scare me. Like, ugh. Written by children. So, anyways.
And that somehow went off of, I believe, Grayson Waller.
Yeah, because they're trying to go over the top showing you he's annoying. I know he is already. Just let him go. I loved Pretty Deadly because they were annoying, cocky, and aloof. I don't need them coming up there and going sports ball or whatever. Like, what is this? So, anyways. But yeah, but NXT, though, like, I don't know. I watch the show, and I don't have any emotional attachment to anything.
Well, this one was just... I felt like it was weird because of the over-reliance on mystery opponents for next week. Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez are having mystery opponents. One from Raw, one from SmackDown. Because I know that's going to be like Ronda Rousey and Bianca Belair, of course. I definitely know it's not going to be Rhea Ripley, even if, what's her name, name dropped her. Cora Jade name dropped her.
Yeah, just part of the character, though. You know she's lying.
Yeah, that's to me, in what you just explained, that is showing me that she's a schmuck.
Exactly. You're like, you know she's lying. Like, okay. It could have been like, well, we already know she's lying about that. Like, okay.
And it was nice of them to acknowledge Tony D'Angelo's injury. It seems really strange, though, to put Stax in a mystery opponent match. I guess Stax doesn't immediately need to go out there and win, like, the North American Championship or anything. I would imagine, though, with it being a knee injury, it is going to take some time for D'Angelo to come back. Like, even if it's not, like, that major of an injury, like, it seems like a weird angle to be running, unless you really don't think he's ready for anything.
Yeah, and especially with him knowing that they have future plans for him, because they should.
Yeah. Oh.
Like Tony, like that. This character's not going to last forever, which is fine. So when he finally gets called up. I mean, he's pretty good in the ring already. So you get him. You're like we've talked about this before. Put him up on the show with the people up there. Oof.
Yes.
I mean,
he certainly has shown the wrestling to wrestling translation is alive and well. Yeah, along with the creeds. So.
Yeah, well, the creeds, yes. real quick. That hospital scene.
Oh.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That was so bad. It was so bad. Like.
That Roddy, was definitely wrestling campy.
Yes, but it's like, Roddy, God bless him, all the wrestling talent in the world, he is so stiff on the mic, and stiff in this whole thing. Like, I'm trying to remember if when they had those Undisputed Era, like those vignettes, where he got kidnapped by Dexter Lumis, remember?
Oh, yes.
Kyle O'Reilly was a therapist, which was still bizarre if you think about it. Was he that stiff in those?
I think so.
Yeah, so...
he's never been great. Like, he does a very good job of getting over his passion a lot, but I still think that you can be stiff and be able to do something like that.
Yeah, it was just so bad. I didn't even recognize that was Ivy Nile. I thought I saw it was an orderly, you know, just wheeling him out so we could talk to everybody. I was like, oh yeah. And I got Diamond Mine Forever. And I'm like, there's a swerve coming here, right? Because that just seemed like too perfect of a reconciliation.
Yeah.
But. And then, the reason I brought that up also was Damon Kemp's doing a pretty good job. Consider his brother was supposed to be the one that was, you know, going to be the standout, do this, do this, do this.
Yeah, the guy seems to be able to talk pretty well.
Yes. Pretty natural, too, so that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he was on this week, though, was he?
No.
Yeah, so... I did have to laugh. It should be noted, I was in full tears when Kiana James was on this week, and they showed literal blueprints for Chase University.
Which, okay, you can just get those.
Blueprinting devices of that nature have not been used in at least 20 years. So, yes, Chase University was built a long time ago, if they are on genuine blueprints.
I love the fact that this is such a goofy angle. The whole Chase U thing's been goofy since the beginning and somehow got over. And then now they're actually trying to tell us that there's a real building and she's buying the land because the land's more valuable than the university. So you know it's going to come down to a match for the future of Chase U. And it's like... when this started, everyone was like, this is dumb. And now it's kind of like, alright, I want to see where this goes. Because
it's certainly turned into something. Because even the whole, I'm blanking on her name, the woman that they brought in who's 18 years old. You know, just that whole her choosing Chase U over actual universities was just that bit to me kind of started this whole thing of really making it kind of funny and establishing, is it Brody or Bodie?
Bodie.
Is his bona fide, yeah, is his bona fide right hand man. You know, it helped him stand out from the group. Like, I guess, like, just because they didn't have any hierarchy for the hangers on, it, to me, it helped help things out and help flesh the gimmick out a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, so quick side note on Chase U. So, you know, whenever he calls people out by name, lately he's been using Dave and Brian, or Dave and something else, and Mike. And those are all the people that work for the Observer. Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, and then there was somebody else. Oh. So they picked him, like, I think he's a fan. Like, because Mike Sempervivi loves Harlem Bravado, which was his old character, because he was great. So it was just funny, because that's what he called out the Dave, and he goes, "Hey Dave, you ever had a match in your life or something like that?" Oh. So it's kind of funny.
I did not realize that there might be some subtext to that whole situation. I just figured they were names. Oh, that's pretty rich.
There's enough goofy shit in there. Like, what is this? What is this? All right, who's the girl that's buying it again? I always forget her name.
Kiana James.
Yeah, like, what does she do? She's just a business lady?
Oh.
Nobody knows what she does?
Well, that was another thing that was hilarious, is that they listed, like, all of her different degrees this week when she came to the ring.
I missed that.
No, yeah, like, they had, like, BA, BB, you know, like, they just had all of these different acronyms. I don't know if they really meant anything for sure, but, you know, it did get a chuckle out of me that they had that up on screen, that she had all these different degrees since they've been playing her off as, you know, super smart. I'm like, yeah. This fits the gimmick, and I can get into this.
And don't you think that, like, she should be, like, trying to talk to Cameron Grimes since he has so much money?
You would think that that would be the smart play on her part.
And I'm trying to figure out who his partners are going to be next week. Or for Halloween Havoc, or is it next week?
I think that's another one, you know, another mystery partner for next week.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be, like, he's got friends, so I'm trying to go through, like, all the tag teams, and I can't think anybody.
I can never think of the dyad when Chris and I are talking, and I forgot that not only is there the dyad, but they are also part of the Schism. And I'm like, oh my god, there's two fucking names involved here?
Dude, I was just about to correct you, so I'm really happy you said that. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's like the Russian nesting doll. There's a name within a name. The tag team has a separate name from, and that maybe that's why I kept on forgetting them, because they use two different titles.
So the dyad is the tag team, Schism's the group.
Correct.
Alright. Yeah. With Mick Jagger and Percy Watson, whatever their names are, I don't even remember their names.
Jagger, Reed, and Rip Fowler. If I did not have it in front of me, I would in no way know what their names are.
I'm glad you said that, because I was like, wow, that was fast. Okay.
Yeah, I am on that particular matches directly in front of my view site currently.
Yeah, so Halloween Havoc is what, next Saturday? Not this Saturday.
It would be weird if it's this Saturday. A little far away from Halloween. I understand that it's not going to be on Halloween itself because, well, Halloween is a Monday.
Yeah.
So that makes things slightly complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see. That'll help. Michigan doesn't have a game next week, so there's no chance of running against it. So, yeah, when it comes to wrestling, though, there's really not much else that I can think of for this week.
Because we are recording Wednesday night, really did not get a full viewing of AEW on my end, that's for sure.
It's a good show. Some goofy stuff, but, you know, stuff they need the answer for. But we'll see.
The Belt Time beer on your end, sir.
No beer this week. I forgot to get one, actually.
Okie dokie. Dropped off from my younger brother, who lives near the parts of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Dancing Gnome Exquisite Beast is the name of this beer. Double IPA, 8.5% alcohol. Sultana, Mosaic, Amarillo, Citra, and Columbus hops. Other than the Sultana, very familiar, very happy to see those hops on any hop bill. So good beer. If you happen to be in Pittsburgh, the Dancing Gnome has some quality beer that you should go and imbibe in your free time. So, suggestion from at DeFrango11 on Stunt Granny Audio 794. The man on the other end was at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.